It's gonna be heavy as shit.
It's like the chains on the drive wheels.
Right.
And just the old chain on them.
Well, he's
making out like a hamburger. I said, dude, I'm on the top of your list.
Right.
But the county council members, please take their seats.
That's great.
Got a good sized agenda, too, with all the resilience.
I have another chair besides Mike Brown.
You can use mine for tonight. We are about 11 minutes late, but we're going to try to make up the time. How's that? This meeting will come to order. Please stand for a moment of silence.
Thank you very much. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance, to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell.
Here.
Mr. Cartier.
Here.
Ms. Diller.
Here.
Mr. Holland.
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Here.
Mr. Powers.
Here.
Mr. Retta.
Here.
Mr. Sheldon.
Here.
Mr. Smiley.
Here.
Mr. Street.
Here.
Mr. Tackett.
Here.
Mr. Weiner.
Here.
Mr. President Pro Tem, the roll call reveals 12 present.
Thank you very much. We'll move to approval of minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of December 14th?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Move the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Are there any announcements? Members of council. Councilman
Smiley.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Councilman Pro Tem Hollins. In accordance with Council Rules 3.5.2, I serve notice that I will be removing 010-005 and 10-027 from future council consideration. They're not on tonight's agenda. They've been introduced previously and will not be pursued any further.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. Council President Pro Tem. I'd like ordinance number 11-04004 to be removed from the introduction this evening.
That's 11-004?
Correct. Ordinance number 11-004.
Thank you very much. Any further announcements from members of council? Seeing none, I would just like to say to the public, we do have a timer if you desire to address council on any matter on the agenda tonight, and afterwards you also have an opportunity to address council. The timer has a yellow light. It will be posted when you come forward to address council. The light will blink. That means you would have 30 seconds remaining. So anyone who is interested in addressing council on any of our agenda items, you may do so. I will give you that opportunity, but there is a time limit of 3 minutes. We'll move on to introduction of ordinances. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 11-001, amend the annual operating budget, revised county council. Ordinance 11-002, amend the pay plan and rates of pay for unclassified employees of county council. Ordinance 11-003, to revise chapter 7 of the Newcastle County Code, also known as the property maintenance code, regarding inoperable unregistered vehicles. Ordinance 11-005, to abate penalty on 8 Arlington Street, tax parcel number 08042-10082. Ordinance 11-006, amend the annual operating budget, revised special service.
All ordinances shall be considered at the next county council meeting on January 25th, with the exception of those items that require board and or commission recommendations. We will proceed with the reports from select and special committees. Are there any reports from any committee by members of council? Councilmember Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today we had the Land Use Committee meeting upstairs. We heard a resolution by Councilman Bell and 3 proposed rezonings under the sponsorship of Councilman Powers.
Any further? Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, we had a special services meeting today about the Middle Run Hunt, and when it's going to be done would be next season to for the deer population. And also we spoke about, some council people spoke about Delmarva Power being able to hopefully work together with them when they have emergencies and so forth to let the, our residents and especially the county council member in that district to alert them ahead of time.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon. Any further? Yes. Councilman Smalley.
Yes. The Finance Committee met up on the 8th floor last Tuesday. It was the one committee that did meet and reviewed issues on this evening's agenda.
Thank you. Councilman Powers.
Yes. Special Services met January 4th at 1:30. Bob Merle gave an update on the resident gradership. Pat Creedon advised council that the unnamed road on Tally Day Park is now J. Harlan Daly, I mean Day Drive.
Thank you, Councilman Powers. Any further reports? Councilwoman Diller, do you have a report from finance?
I just did it.
You did that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay, very well, thank you. No further reports. Thank you very much. We will proceed with the consent calendar. Are there any items on the consent calendar which any member of council may want removed? Is there any item on the consent calendar where a member of the public may wish to have it removed? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 11001, honoring the life of Mrs. Marcella Rose Brooks and expressing condolences to her family and friends. Resolution 11002, to rename the non-residential development recorded as Summit Pike Creek to the apartments at Pike Creek. Resolution 11003, celebrating the 100th birthday of Mrs. Fern Hadley. Resolution 11004, resolution approving the issuance of certain bonds for notes by the Holloway Terrace Fire Company. Resolution 11005, resolution approving the issuance of certain bonds or notes by the Minquedale Fire Company No. 1, Inc. Resolution 11006, approving the refund of county taxes paid in error. Resolution 11007, honoring the life of Bob Blansfield and expressing condolences to his loved ones.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Pro Tem, the roll call reveals 12, yes.
The consent calendar has been adopted. We'll proceed to presentations. I believe Councilman Cartier has one.
Sergeant Keith Sparks was able to suppress the flames enough to
to remove the operator from the backseat of the car as parts of her body were on fire. He was able to extinguish the flames on the victim, who was later rushed to Christiana Hospital, where she was treated for significant burns about her upper body. He also sustained burns on his hands during the rescue. Whereas Newcastle County wishes to thank Sergeant Keith Sparks for not only his heroic action, but his overall dedication to and success in protecting our families, property, and neighborhoods, and allowing all of us to be proud to call Newcastle County our home. Now, therefore, be it resolved by and for the Council of Newcastle County that Sergeant Keith Sparks is thanked for both his life-saving, heroic deed, and always being there to protect the safety and welfare of all the citizens of Newcastle County. This is Resolution 10-220, honoring Newcastle County Police Sergeant Keith Sparks for an act of heroism. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier, for the recognition from the last meeting, and thank you, Senior Sergeant Sparks, for your valor. Is there any other presentations from council members this evening? Seeing none, we would advance to the ordinances. Ordinance number 10-127, Mr. Retta.
Thank you. I'd like to have ordinance 10-127 placed before council for consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 10-127, amend the grants budget appropriate $375,000 to the property maintenance revolving fund.
Mr. Retter.
Thank you. What this is it comes out of the property maintenance code, and the money that is generated in that aspect goes back into a revolving fund that we take care of properties that are in disarray and comes up to our standards of property maintenance code.
Any further discussion, comment, question? Councilman Cartier?
Yes. Of course I'm going to be supporting this ordinance tonight. I think that I can recall a day when I was first elected to this council, and I had a particularly terrible situation with a house that was in total state of failure, and roof was leaking, and it was endangering adjacent residents, and we were able to appropriate some money out of the land use budget to remediate that situation. And I think it's from situations that we encounter throughout the county like that we developed this concept of taking fines and creating a revolving fund so that we can abate properties where needed to protect the quality of our neighborhoods. It's a very innovative concept. And I think, we need to pass this ordinance tonight to make it continue.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Any further comment, questions from members of council? Seeing none, I'll move to the public. Any member of the public have comment, questions pertaining to this particular ordinance? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick? Yes. Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Pro Tem, the roll call reveals 12. Yes.
Ordinance 10-127 has been adopted. We'll proceed to ordinance number 10-128. Mr. Smiley?
Yes, I would request that ordinance 10-128 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 10-128, amend the annual operating budget, revised county council.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes, Mr. President. This legislation deauthorizes one legislative aide to the county council president. These funds will help us to sustain our budget, will help to offset the wages and benefit increases of our staff.
Any questions, comments from members of council? Seeing none, I'll move to the public. Any question, comment from members of the public on this particular ordinance? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Pro Tem, the roll call reveals 12 yes.
Ordinance number 10128 has been adopted. And before I move to ordinance number 10129, I want to take a second just to introduce the Newcastle County President-elect who's in the audience this evening, Tom Kovac. Tom, would you just let people know who you are? We will proceed to ordinance number 10129. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President Pro Tem. Move that ordinance number 10-129 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 10-129 revised Chapter 14 of the Newcastle County Code to exempt certain properties from taxation.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you. As we all recognize, we discussed this in great detail at our finance meeting the other day. Newcastle County has suffered a significant economic loss resulting from the closure of the Delaware City oil refinery, formerly known as Premcor. Back in June of this year, 2010, through the cooperation of Governor Markell, County Executive Coons, and the Delaware Economic Office, they were able to bring a group, PDF, which referred to Delaware City Refining Company, LLC, into purchasing the refinery and plan to resume operations which could create good quality jobs and rehire opportunities for refinery employees. It is the intent of this ordinance for Newcastle County to seek to eliminate the property tax burden on the refinery properties for a period of 5 years in order to increase the likelihood for success of this undertaking and bolster the economy of Newcastle County. Just like to highlight a few of the achievements that has been made just since Delaware City Refinery PDF formed and acquired the property back in June. Since the acquisition, Delaware City Refinery Company has invested in excess of $50 million in refurbishing the refinery in anticipation of startup in the second quarter of 2011. The company is committed to spend in excess of $146 million to upgrade the total refinery. The refinery has pledged to collaborate with the state and Newcastle County to best utilize the 5,000 acres of land owned by the parent company. They are in the process of bringing folks back to work. And once the refinery is totally operational, they will have a workforce of 474 employees and approximately 222 contractors. In its current state of operation, the refinery currently has 213 full-time employees now working and over 1,000 contractors on site working to prepare for the startup. 474 total positions will be in place in 2011. 68% of those jobs will reside here in the state of Delaware. They will employ 213 workers directly, 122 are residents of Newcastle County, 23 reside in the state of Delaware outside Newcastle County. Since between June and December 31st of 2010, labor costs have exceeded $5.9 million, with an estimated $4 million being paid to Delaware residents. In addition to the salaries and wages paid for this period, the refinery has had $24.5 million in expenditures for goods and services associated with the day-to-day operations. Of this amount, approximately $4 million was spent with vendors in the state of Delaware, $9.5 million was spent on natural gas, electricity, nitrogen to operate the facility, and an additional $3 million was spent on local support services. This is a tough ordinance because of tough economic times. And we will, by doing this, lose $2 million in tax revenue, property tax revenue, over the next 5 years. But I think that if you look at the $721,000 that has been acquired through the transfer, property transfer, building permits, putting people back to work here in Delaware during tough economic times, creating jobs, they have committed to a diverse workforce and have sent some statistics on that particular workforce. Folks, it's a tough decision to make in one sense, economy-wise, but it's the right decision to make for bringing our people back to work here in the state of Delaware and for supporting our workers, local contractors, collective bargaining units at the refinery, as well as the organized trades. So with that, if there's any questions or anything,
Councilman Smalley, then Councilman Weiner.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate, and I'll be briefer than I was in committee. I am going to support this. I don't do it lightly, given our current fiscal condition and that which I see in the future. The revenue that we will be recouping from transfer tax as well as ongoing permit fees, I find that comforting. That, and in looking in retrospect, had this company not come in and taken over this refinery, there's no doubt that the parent corporation would have filed with assessment for a reassessment of the property, which would have drastically reduced the tax availability to us to begin with. So I do think this is a win-win. It's good for the job. Just need to send loud and clear. It doesn't mean that this council has an open door for giving away tax relief, but we're willing to look at anything that's responsible. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Smalley. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I've struggled with this. I appreciate the great description provided by Councilman Bell, because he described a cost-benefit analysis. I also appreciate the candor and honesty of DITO Director Alan Levin when I asked him upstairs whether or not this was a deal breaker or a deal maker, and he said candidly, it's not a deal breaker. And so when I consider as well whether this would be precedential, and how could we distinguish this away from others, and would we be encouraging the state or others to seek avoidance of having to pay taxes. After having considered that, I've made the tough decision I am going to support this, but I also find this a tough decision to make, and I think that we'll be able to distinguish this away on the merits, given the fact that we ended up with a brownfield that would have had remediation costs in a huge sum of money that would have been borne by all taxpayers, whether they're federal, state, or county.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I don't want to make redundant comments. These are very bad economic times. This facility is critical to the economy of New Castle County and the state of Delaware. I, too, share the reservations that other members of council have expressed about forgiving the property tax revenue on this property. That's a very unprecedented thing for this government to do. But I also want to stand in recognition and support our Governor Markell and his team as they've struggled to revive our state's economy. And I think it's incumbent upon us to do our part in that regard. But at the same time, I am also constantly having in the front of my mind the kind of cost burdens that have been imposed on us by state government, where we've lost significant portions of our reimbursement for paramedics. We now have to do the animal control. We have had literally probably millions of dollars taken away from us by state action. And I would hope that by coming forward and supporting this very important economic recovery action to reopen the Delaware City Refinery, that we will have some recognition from the governor. I know that the county executive is going to be meeting, as well as other members of council, with the governor to stress to the governor the importance of supporting this very important, largest local government in the state. I'm also having in the front of my mind the request that we have had before state government for very reasonable authorizations for tax authority over cell phones, and to levy a hotel motel tax. So having all of these things in my mind as we have struggled to keep this government a well-funded, strong government with a AAA bond rating, one of 2% of counties in this country. I am going to support this with the hopes that we will earn goodwill and support from the state government.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Let me just say to your points and to points of other council members that I've heard, not only from the committee meeting but on the floor tonight, and that is that it just seems to be a need for greater communication between county government and state government. And the points that have been made, the committee that was selected by the county exec to invite to meet with the governor is an ongoing committee with the president pro tem, and the chairs, co-chairs of finance. And we did bring some of those issues to the attention of the governor. The real question for me at that meeting, as I said, was, you know, are we addressing the right branch of government when we address the governor and the executive branch of government? A lot of the assaults that are coming toward Newcastle County are actually coming from the Delaware General Assembly, and we all have references to a lot of those. Just a couple of years ago when we were fighting an issue with Lira Farms because of inadequate sewer treatment, you had a member of a General Assembly from another county to bring forth legislation to take away the county's authority to actually use the waste treatment as a part of our comprehensive plan. So when those types of things happen to Newcastle County, it's a direct assault on this county, and then people tend to get quiet about it. So I think we need to have these discussions going forward in a more comprehensive fashion. I just could not understand how a state representative from Kent County could say that Newcastle County, and only Newcastle County, they would take away the county's authority to actually to lease and provide for waste treatment and to privatize that. I think that that kind of action really is a smack in the face of this government, and it doesn't help this government. So we have a lot of issues to talk about with the governor, and hopefully they also will get to the Delaware General Assembly. Mr. Redder.
Thank you. I'm going to support this tonight, but one thing that really bothers me is they put out the Councilman Bell put out the figures tonight about 65% or 68% of Delawareans. Well, we had a apple right down the street here with the courthouse, and now it's up to about 75%. And I like to see those figures in the near future because Delawareans are the ones that are out of work for the for a plant in Delaware, and we need to put our people to work, not people from out of state. And I'd like to know how many jobs that are going to generate from out of state. And the other is the permits that they're going to be doing. They don't need a lot of permits from the county because they do a lot of maintenance permit, a lot of maintenance work in there. So their permitting is not as going to be as great as people think it's going to be. So I wish they realize that, that we're not going to generate a lot of money out of that, out of the work that's going to be in there.
I would allow Councilman Bell, if you would, like to respond to the numbers and the percentages.
Not a problem, Mr. President Pro Tem. These figures were actually provided by Carl Kaubacher from our Economic Development Office and Redevelopment Office, and these particular background figures and not only the acquisition, but the employment figures, diversity figures. It lists out contractors here in Delaware that have already been employed to do certain work. There were 15 of the local contractors with associated with the restart, $3.8 million in local contracts, and another in excess of $2 million for 34 local contractors for daily operations of the refinery. Everyone on council was forwarded this document by Carl. I can't really solidify whether all these figures are accurate. I think that there's certainly always room for improvement, and I couldn't agree more with Councilman Redder. You know, we need to try to get as many Delawareans back to work. We need not only a commitment, but we need results in a diverse workforce and get Delaware back to work. So these are figures and statistics that were provided to us. And like I say, I think that when it's all said and done, Yes, there are things that we need to continue to work on with the state of Delaware and with the Delaware City Refinery, but the bottom line is I think that we're heading in the right direction from the standpoint of economic development and getting our people back to work.
I would like to express my appreciation that this county council is embracing the opportunity for the people that elected us to represent them and including diversity. At one point, when you spoke about diversity, those kinds of issues, you sort of felt like you were talking to yourself. And I think more recently, county council members have embraced diversity wholeheartedly, and it continues to come up when these kinds of opportunities present themselves. Other council members want to speak. I don't want to ignore Carl Kaubacher, who's volunteering to come down to address some of these questions. So, Councilman Street, I will go to you, and then I will yield. If you want to come down, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pro Tem, I guess tonight is one of the few nights where I happen to agree with everything that's been said by all the council members on this issue. I'm going to be brief in my remarks, but the fact of the matter is, as I said in committee meeting, I believe strongly in systems of reciprocity. And Councilman Cartier actually stole my thunder and the critical points I wanted to make in terms of the things that have been imposed and the things that we've asked for. He made those points very eloquently. And I believe that, you know, the governor and those negotiating this had every reason to assume that we would be cooperative at the end of the day, and it appears that we're going to be doing that. The things we complain about, again, a system of reciprocity is a system of reciprocity. The President of the United States has called for civility among those who have differences of opinion, and I think that trickles right down to the state of Delaware. And we've got to look, when we don't like some of the reactions that we've gotten from another branch of government, we've also got to look in the mirror and say, what have we done? What have we said that maybe we could have been stated a different way, argued a different way, and maybe folks would be cooperative. But when it gets to the point where occasionally we attack, we're not going to get results like that. My major point being, if we're going to be successful, and if we're going to indeed get out of this financial crisis, it is imperative that governments throughout this state work together, that leaders from Democrats, Republicans, everywhere, everybody that has responsibility, we have to, if we're going to be successful, work together. And I think this is a good start. Beginning of the year, a major company, and I think it's a good way to start the year out. Hopefully, it will continue.
I appreciate your comments, Councilman Street. I do believe that council is getting the attention in the ear of state government, and I think we would not get it if we did not speak up to what we believe is fair. Mr. Kaubacher, would you like to address council?
Thank you, Council President Hollins. Carl Kaubacher, Director of Economic Redevelopment. I really just wanted to say a few words in response to Councilman Retta's question. He is correct. The amount of revenue that we project from permit fees is about $16,000 based upon your assertions. Fees for new building construction, about $25,000. So that it's a small amount. The other point that I did want to make that we have had discussions with the representatives with PBF as well as representatives of county council who represent the district that PBF is located on a donation of land, land that has value. So I know that when you look at both sides of the ledger sheet, expenses and revenue, it doesn't equal out completely, but I think you'll see that there is a revenue real estate transfer tax of $760,000, donation of land, permits and fees, and then, of course, counterbalanced is, of course, the tax exemption. I think it has great merit in that there are jobs that are being created,
and those folks who have jobs will in turn spend money to buy things like houses, which in turn, as you know, results in real estate transfer tax and additional permits and fees. So we do think it's on balance a pretty good deal. Could it be better? Certainly. But the alternative was not very good, which is basically an abandoned brownfield, as Councilman Weiner so accurately described. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Carl Kalbacher from members of council? Seeing none, thank you. Any further questions or comments from members of council? Councilman Sheldon?
Yeah, just Mr. Hollins, I was down there last Wednesday, actually. It was 20 below zero. I felt like it. But there was over 500 people were working when I was asking who was coming in. And to talk about the diversity of the workforce, there, I can definitely tell you there's a diverse workforce down there, men and women. Gender was not an issue. Race was definitely not an issue. Some were out of state, like you said, but 68% were in state, I think the figures were. And I can attest to that. But the thing of it was people, to make Newcastle County, it's not so negative. I got a really good feeling when I was down there shaking hands because people were so glad to get back to work. Had a decent paying job and not to be a burden on society here so they could keep their houses up and so forth, the people that are working. So I didn't get to talk to Councilman Bell, but I'd like to be a co-sponsor on this because after watching people go in there and with the enthusiasm that they were working, not one person was late. It was a 7 o'clock shutoff, and I can tell you, you get 500 people in a plant that not one person was late, or unless they just didn't come in, showed me a good enthusiasm of the workforce down there. So I know the negative impact I've been keeping up on this, but it's also the positive impact that maybe we can make people feel happy again.
That's a very good report, Councilman Sheldon. Any further comments from members of council, questions from members of council?
Councilman Cartier.
I just wanted to request if I could be made a co-sponsor as well.
Yeah, two requests for co-sponsor, Councilman Bell.
Okay, what I was actually going to mention here is that I think that all of council should be offered the opportunity to sponsor this, to co-sponsor it. I think it sends, we've all talked, we've all deliberated, we've talked about loss of revenue and our seriousness about the financial crisis, but I think that we've all joined together and said there's some real value in getting this thing done and getting our folks back to work. So we would offer the opportunity for anyone on council to join. I think it sends the right message to the citizens of Newcastle County.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Are there any objections from members of council? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, all council will be added as co-sponsors. Thank you, Councilman Bell, again. Any further comment, questions, members of council? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to the public. Please come forward.
Good evening. Mark Blake from Hockessin, Delaware. Thank you, Council President Pro Tem Collins, sure, and members of council. With the current budget and NC Newcastle County's ongoing use of the surplus fund to make up the revenue shortfalls that we've been experiencing, I wonder why we would even entertain abating these taxes for 5 years without any sort of a clawback clause. That basically means if their profitability starts up much sooner than they anticipate, we can actually recover some of that tax abatement. The other thing that worries me is I know this is probably the last year the surplus is going to be intact, and that after the fall elections, we'll probably be seeing some sort of a tax increase. Based on the numbers we've seen from County Council, Executive Clark, and before him, Coons, we know that that's probably going to be somewhere north of 30%. So this $2 million tax abatement is really much larger when you start looking at what's going to happen in year 2 through 5. Total value is over $2 million right now in today's tax dollars in assessment. And I like the phrase, so that Newcastle County can increase, quote, increase the likelihood of for success of this undertaking and bolster the economy of Newcastle County. I get wanting to do this. I really do. You restore a few hundred jobs, about 155 for Delaware natives that were lost when the refinery closed. But what about those of us that are still living here and paying the taxes on our homes, businesses, and properties?
why don't you give us this tax abatement for 5 years? And I guarantee you, we'll put that money into the economy tomorrow and start moving things forward. I'll commit to buying a brand new vehicle and might even buy a vacation home. If you did that, we could fix up our homes and do all sorts of things. You'd have all sorts of building permits for people putting in pools and so forth. So why don't we look at that? And that way, maybe we'll all stay here in Newcastle County and continue paying our taxes as well. Okay. Put that to the tens of thousands of people versus the 155 jobs, and you'll see a significant impact. So instead of giving it all away, why don't we offer a 50% reduction for those first 5 years? And also have a caveat that says if there is a tax increase, it has to be revisited. And as far as the land, we don't have that deal yet. All we have is the abatement right now, and we have no guarantee of the value of that land or how much. So why don't we make this contingent upon looking at the whole package instead of just seeing the tax abatement and a promise of some land of value that we might be able to turn around later and sell at a profit. Let's see what the whole picture is before we make a decision on giving up $2 million. Beyond that, they're going to improve the operating function of the facility, the refinery. They've already spent $50 million. That's a drop in the bucket for any refinery or chemical plant, as people know. $150, $200 million is nothing. They do that all the time at DuPont. I don't see them here asking for an abatement. So let's start looking at this and look at a way to get that 50% tax reduction, get it paid back with a clawback clause in there, should profitability go faster than what they anticipate. And at the same time, why don't we ask for that rebate abatement to come back in years 5 through 8 and get that money back in the coffers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You want to hold on and see if there are any questions from members of the council? Councilman Weiner.
Thanks. Thank you for your comments. One of the questions we asked upstairs, and you weren't there, of course, was were there clawback provisions, and we were told there were. And just to comment on your aspect that we're destined to have a tax increase, I would not agree with that.
As far as the clawback, I asked Mr. Kalbach earlier, and there is not one in the ordinance the way it was written. I don't see it in there, which means it isn't in there. So I agree with your point. If you were told that, let's get it in there before we vote on it and pass it. Thank you.
No further questions?
Mr. President, Pro Tem.
Yes, thank you.
Just, it's hard to read this whole document, but I think that there's a lot more things that could be said, and I certainly appreciate the input from our public. The Delaware City Refinery is also evaluating installation of a gas oil hydrotreater at an estimated cost of approximately $500 million. So these are things that maybe every single point hasn't been mentioned this evening, but point well taken. The refineries have a big interest in the in our environment. We have an interest in our environment. The hydrotreater would enable the refinery to mass produce low sulfur heating oils and reduce the sulfur content from 2,500 parts per million to 15 parts per million, which would significantly improve air quality locally and regionally. So I don't disagree with what was said. We've all stated it is a tough decision. There's a total of 474 positions that will be in place by the end of 2011. As of 1-7-11, okay, there are 213 workers directly, 122 of the residents of Newcastle County, 23 reside in the state of Delaware. I think that there's room, as some of other council have mentioned, for more of these jobs as people are brought back and hired. There's certainly room to bring more people back to work. And when we talk about the economy and we talk about how it benefits the state of Delaware and in particular Newcastle County, it is a great sacrifice to lose tax revenue, but I think when you take a look at the 49 local contractors and local businesses that have already been mentioned since the refinery started to work towards restart, look at how many folks they employ and how much products that they will provide. Look at your outside labor and trades that provides support to the refinery. So I think this is a much broader scope than what we could probably visit, by this document. And I think at the end of the day, like I say, from my vantage point, it's the right thing to do at the right time. And no one, including myself, wants to see the loss of any revenues.
I think there were some legitimate points or concerns, at least, that were made, but I would agree the limitations of the document that's before us does not really, it's not a summary of all of the negotiations that have gone on with the state and with the county as it relates to this refinery. The other side of this is if you were to look at the options that were available to Newcastle County, what would that result in, given what's before us today? It's become very common for governments of every size to compete for manufacture for jobs all over this country. The one we did here in Newcastle County, which was major, is AstraZeneca. Had we not competed with Pennsylvania to have AstraZeneca here, I think it would have been a severe blow to the economy, and not only Newcastle County, but to Delaware, and with not only the jobs that AstraZeneca brought as AstraZeneca, but the other jobs it brought that are companion to having a great research facility in the state of Delaware, which includes the University of Delaware. So I think if you look at the refinery just as a refinery, it's kind of short-circuited. If you were even just reading an article in the newspaper about the relocation, about the restartup of the refinery, just one restaurant in Delaware City is doing business every single day, filling orders every single day, when the person who owns that restaurant was fearing to have to go out of business. So I think you can't just focus on what's going on with one set of dollars from the county and say that this is a net loss until you go through and do all of the economic kinds of things that I'm not capable to do. But just from my little knowledge that I have, I can see the positive results of this. And I'm not like every other council person here. I'm not happy to give up, you know, $100 million or $1 million in tax revenue, but there's another side to it. Carl Kalbach, I'm sure, have far more information than I have, but other council members want to speak, and I want to recognize Councilwoman Kilpatrick as well as Councilman Cartier and other council members, and Councilman Street.
Thank you. Mark Blake is my constituent, and we had some of this discussion beforehand. One of the questions I asked was about a clawback when we were in committee meeting, and it was my understanding that there was a clawback clause in there. Now that I hear Councilman Weiner state the same thing, I'm beginning to think that I did not misunderstand, but maybe we were not given all of the information, or the information was a little bit skewed. If we could have Mr. Kalbacher come back and address that, I would certainly appreciate that.
Sure. I think there was a clawback. It was just a little bit different. I think the discussion we had in committee had more to do with if the refinery failed as opposed to if the refinery did well. I think for Mr. Blake, his concern is that if the refinery does very well, do they still continue to have these blessings? I think the idea is to have these blessings is that we want the refinery to do well. We want AstraZeneca to do well. It's like a lady saying to me, well, I don't want to make so much money because if I make too much, then I'll give up my Section 8 certificate. The idea is we want you to make more so you don't need the Section 8 certificate in the first place. So it's all about the positive. I hope that they do so well that they would never have to consider any kind of benefit from any government anywhere. I mean, that's what we're seeking to have, but I'll let Mark explain the clawback component to this particular application.
Councilman Hollins, Carl Kalbacher, Director of Economic Redevelopment. The clawback provision is in the state agreement with PBF. There is no clawback provision in the ordinance. It's very self-evident. The state requirement is quite high. We have a $20 million low-interest loan that will convert to a grant, provided that they commit to having 600,000 person-hours of labor during the restart of the refinery. As of September of last year, they had already expended 550,000 person-hours, so they've probably already exceeded that criterion. They are required to spend in excess of $100 million. They've expended, you've noted in the document, in excess of $50 million. And they're required to employ 600 individuals, approximately 400 full-time and 200 full-time contractual. And that is over the five-year period after startup. We chose not to put a clawback provision in because, as it was alluded to by, I believe it was Councilman Bell, and I may be misinformed, maybe it wasn't Councilman Bell, but the issue of what happens if the refinery did not open up, that it just closed. Likely it would have been reassessed. Likely that reassessment would have dropped from set 25 to 75%, which means that a $2 million revenue from property turns into $1 million of revenue if you cut it in half. If you look at it from the other side, we've received already $761,000 in real estate transfer tax. I want to make clear, it's not a question of whether we're going to get a donation of land. It's which piece of land are we going to get. And that is something that we want to work with you, because you have good ideas. Councilman Bell has excellent ideas, and he's been working directly with the administration and with members of PBF on this land transfer. We have done already, as an example, a property appraisal of one parcel that's valued at around $400,000. You look at that on top of the permits, and the positive side of the balance sheet is in excess of $1.2 million. So if you look at it from that perspective versus a property that is basically fallow and vacant, and property that a revenue of about $1 million, we would say to you that a clawback provision is not necessary. We think we already have a good success story, and we will certainly keep on top of this process going forward.
You want to hold your position? Any member of council have any further? Mr. Cartier and Mr. Street, I have you, but any council member having any further question of Mr. Kallbacher, please speak. I do not hope to bring him back the third time. So please ask your questions now. Councilman Cartier, Councilman Street, then Councilman Weiner.
Yes, Mr. Council President Pro Tem. I was not able to attend the last finance meeting where this issue was vetted, but it's my understanding that this whole initiative was negotiated by the governor with his economic development office, and we were sort of handed this package by the governor and his team and asked to do our part. Am I incorrect in saying that?
Councilman, I can't speak directly to that issue. I know that the offer letter to PBF does make reference to some contact with Newcastle County government. And our response consistently has always been that we would certainly push forward with this type of initiative. However, everything that we do is subject to your approval.
That's a very nice way of phrasing things, Carl, and I appreciate that. But we have an ordinance before us that it was developed, I think largely at the behest of the governor and his team. And they've asked us to support it. I don't have. I personally think this could have been more artfully crafted. I know that other jurisdictions offer property tax relief with a concept called payment in lieu, which offers reductions, calibrates the amount of revenue received based on the amount of services delivered, and we could have offered it. But I am not in a position, neither is this council, anybody here, to get into that. What we have before us is this ordinance. We want to play our part to support economic recovery in the state, put our people back to work, and that's what we have to do. Welcome to the idea of being in a subordinate government.
And I would add to that, Councilman Cartier, we still retain the option to vote it up or vote it down, and I think that's very clear. And I think council members have made it very clear that we like to be greater partners in this, and that was the message that we gave to the governor, I guess it was, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that this council prefers to be involved at the front end, and to the extent that we can, that's what we said, we were told would happen. There may be other opportunities, and this would be the example. This is the reference right here. Councilman Street and Councilman Weiner and Powers.
I just don't understand why it's, let me start over again. For those of us who have jobs, we cannot turn our nose up and not be sensitive to it be 150 jobs or 600 jobs. For those of us who have jobs, we have to be sensitive, caring, compassionate about those who don't have jobs. And most of us were in here tonight when we listened to that oath flowing from the people. Mm-hmm. Right now, the people need jobs. And in the absence of those jobs, I'm not going to do the economics. I'm going to do the common sense. I can't, on one hand, sit up there in committee meeting and scream and holler about the record number of share sales, the record number of foreclosures. I can't scream and holler about people sleeping on the street and sleeping in front of the train station and not be sensitive toward people getting jobs and the likelihood of there being more jobs created as a result of the ones that we're helping to come to fruition now. So I just don't see how anyone can logically conclude that bid 50, 150, 600, and the potential for more is insignificant. It's extremely significant for those who have those jobs because we're eliminating share sales, we're eliminating foreclosures, and for where Councilman Bell and I sit, we're also reducing the likelihood that those who don't have a job and don't have an income are not going to be reduced to participating in crime. So if you look at it holistically across the board, and it flows from the people, then this is right on target, and I call for the vote.
Second.
I think that's the option for Councilman Bell, but yeah. I don't think I've seen a campaign at all to that a politician has not tried to include jobs, jobs, jobs. And for this government to sit here and even assume in any the smallest way that's not significant, it just blows my mind away. Councilman Weiner, did you speak? Councilman
yeah.
Powers, and I'm going to encourage Councilman Bell to call for the vote because we can be here another 2 hours, and those people who agree, I think we'll go forward. You've had your 3 minutes, and I may allow you. We're not going to have rebuttal. That pretty much seals it. Well, that pretty much sealed it when you said rebuttal.
I don't know what you call it, but we call it rebuttal.
Which point are you trying to clarify? Thank you very much.
If they do sooner, then get back the tax revenue. Don't just throw it to the wind.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Councilman Powers.
Excuse me. Mr.
Sure.
President, point of order, I thought I was next in line.
Oh, I thought you said you had spoken.
No.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I just have a simple question. And
go ahead.
Just to ask Mr. Kaulbacker if I could ask, had you contemplated asking for or negotiating for a clawback?
Councilman Weiner, that was not part of the discussions because our discussions have centered around the property being vacant and abandoned versus it operational, and also on the fact that there was a donation of land that is part of this transaction.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that was a second. Okay. I've just been informed by the clerk, when there's a motion for call for the vote, and a second we have to take a vote. I had assumed that it should come from Councilman Bell. That is not the case. So we're trying to be attorney and clerk and President Pro Tem all together here, Bessie and I. So we deserve a raise next week. The motion was made and second. The motion was made, I believe, by Councilman Street and second by Councilman Tackett. And so now, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the call for the vote, and that would end all discussion. Council members, public, etc.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
No.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yeah.
Mr. Street?
Yeah.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Minor?
No.
Mr. President Pro Tem, the roll call reveals 10 yes, 2 no.
Ordinance number 10129 is adopted.
Nope.
No.
We got to vote for the vote.
Call for
the
vote.
Oh, that's right. That ended the conversation on ordinance 10129. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance number 10129. Thank you.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, pro tem, the roll card is 12. Yes.
Now, ordinance number 10-129 is unanimously adopted. We will proceed to ordinance number 10-130. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President, pro tem. Move that substitute 1 to ordinance number 10-130 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 10-130 to declare surplus certain lands owned by Newcastle County and permit their transfer and conveyance to Bear Babe Ruth, Inc.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you. First, I want to acknowledge, before we just give a brief explanation, because we didn't went into great detail the other day in committee, but Councilman Smiley and I are both sponsors of this, and with the previous administration, with Premcor Refinery, that is no longer here, and Councilman Smiley took a very strong lead role in this particular donation of land for Newcastle County to be able to convey this land to the Bear Babe Ruth League. And I want to acknowledge that because I think it also reflects the fact that we on council, even though we have districts, we reach beyond our districts working together in a team effort. But what this boils down to is there were 68 acres in size of property at Route 1 and Route 72, which is Wrangell Hill Road, that was donated to the county from Premcor Refining Group Incorporated. There were certain restrictions that it be established, operating, and maintained thereon, a public park, open space park, and outdoor recreational uses. The Bear Babe Ruth League, which does a tremendous job with providing athletic programs for many of our youth in the greater Bear area, which takes in a very large area, have leased 30 acres of that property from Newcastle County. It is the intent of the administration, and we had a report from Special Services to turn over the 30 acres of property to Bear Babe Ruth League, however, retain 38 acres of property, park-type property that is on the back of the parcel. And like I say, we had a great deal of discussion the other evening when we had Finance Committee and everything, but I think it's a good thing. The pass-through of the property from Premcor to Bear Babe Ruth, the decision on the part of this council to retain 38 acres of that 68 acres and utilize it for whether we lease, sell, or turn around and keep it as county park land would certainly be advantageous to the county.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any question or comment? Councilman Street.
Let the kids play ball.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Any further comment, question? Seeing none, I'll turn it over to the public. Any member of the public have comment, question on this particular ordinance? Seeing none again, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, pro tem, the roll card reveals 12 yes.
Ordinance 10-130 is adopted. We would advance to ordinance number 10-131. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President, pro tem. Move that ordinance number 10-131 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 10-131 to provide for the installation of Granville with ribs, including an optional 12-foot aluminum pole in the village of Bayberry North Subdivision located in St. George's 100 for a light tax based on the cost of street lights.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir. Actually, the ordinance itself, the title of the ordinance says it all. This is for the village of Bayberry North for the installation of street lights, and we had an explanation from the developer on the 12-foot aluminum pole option, and I think that was well explained.
Thank you. Any questions? Councilman Powers?
I have a question. When will this tax be billed to whoever?
I think if the property set forth in the petition shall be subject to an annual tax based upon the full annual cost of the street lighting and an amount to be provided in the annual revenue ordinance, I don't want to say assume, but I guess that the developer is, the development is under construction as we speak. And so I believe that what they're trying to do is get the street lighting put in, and I would imagine that once the street lighting's put in, prior to folks occupying properties, I would imagine that the developer would be responsible.
I have a question. It's probably more with Ed. I mean, because I just had a subdivision this past week get bills that I've never gotten bills for 15 years.
Did they get new lights?
Nope.
The request is for the finance director to respond to the question.
How does this work, anyway? We vote on it, and how much later does it get billed?
Wait till it get to the other 14 years.
What's that?
Wait till it get to the other 14 years. Man, I don't care. Complain about that.
No, I'm going to stop 14 years back.
We'll give you something to complain about.
No, I'm just... No, they did.
Yeah.
They only billed them for the rest of this year. I'm just, we voted on a lot of these?
No, not tonight.
No, I said I have since I've...
Oh, we have, yeah, we do all the time. The question from Councilman Powers is that he has a development in his district that has received the light bill for the first time in 15 years. It's a 15-year development. And the question from Councilman Sheldon is how do we collect for the back tax that they owe us for the last 15 years?
I'm not asking that. That is not the question. The question is, how do we start billing? I'm glad it's 15 years later.
Ed Balwicki, Acting Chief Finance Officer for Newcastle County. I am not familiar with the development you're talking about. I'd like to get that after the meeting, the name of it.
We've
look
been
into
talking
it.
To Denny all week. You've got to get those phone calls over the weekend.
But we are notified by Delmarva Power. Once we are notified by Delmarva Power that the light is can be taxed, that's how, and then we send the billing out for it. In a case where there's no homes on that development, the developer pays those like taxes until the property is transferred over to the owner.
I think you've answered my question. It really comes, you're saying, from Delmarva Power.
Right. Once
it wasn't from us. Delmarva finally figured it out.
We're just a billing function. We just
I appreciate that. It was just a question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We may have a response to a question from someone from Blenheim Homes. Is that? Did you want to respond to the question? If it's something else, I'm going to wait till I'm done with council. But if you want to respond to that question, that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. President, Pro Tem, and members of council. Jeff Samans, Land Resource Manager for Blenheim Homes. The finance director can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that as we disturb land at the Village of Bayberry North, we incur tax bills for those lots that have been disturbed, where grading has occurred. As those lights are installed, we then receive annual tax bills for the lots, even though perhaps no one is living there. We pay the taxes on those lots. The light tax will be on those bills, and we will pay it until those lots are conveyed. So up front, after the lights are installed, my understanding is that the developer pays the light tax on those lots.
Thank you. Councilman Powers.
I mean, in the past, and I guess just you've paid these, for some reason this one just got overlooked. And the people should be happy.
Don't worry about it.
Any further questions, comment from members of council?
Don't worry about it.
Seeing on any comment, question from members of the public? Close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Carvia?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Swanson?
Yes.
Mr. President, that's on the roll call reveals 12 yes.
Ordinance number 10-131 has been adopted. We will proceed to ordinance number 10-113.
Mr. Smiley, that's currently on the table.
Yes, Mr. President, I would request that ordinance 10-113 be lifted from the table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Mr. President, I would request that substitute 1 to ordinance 10-113 be read by title only, placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 10-113, ordinance adopting and enacting a republication of the Newcastle County Code for the County of Newcastle, Delaware.
Mr. Smalley.
Yes, Mr. Pro Tem, in an effort to help you recoup those 10 minutes you've been trying to get since 10 after 7 this evening, I will not read the 175 pages into the record, but we'll go with as stated in the ordinance.
Thank you so much. Any comment, questions from members of council?
Yes,
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. As I mentioned upstairs, I took the opportunity to read through the document and found some typographical errors, some syntactical, grammatical suggestions. I appreciate the opportunity to work with then Council Wendy Danner to implement those changes. My eyes were not that good. There are a few others, but we can worry about making those changes later on. But certainly, it's important to update this document at least every 4 years.
Thank you very much. Any further comment from members of council? Seeing none, any comment, question from members of the public? We'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance number 10-113.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yes.
Mr. Powers?
Wake her up.
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street? Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Pro Tem, the roll call reveals 12. Yes.
Ordinance 10-113 has been adopted. We will advance to ordinance number 10-120. Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. Pro Tem, that will remain on the table to a future date.
Thank you very much. That pretty much ends our print. Are there any time sensitive? I believe there is one. Item J. This is resolution number 11008, congratulating William Hartman for achieving the rank of Eagle Scout. I think that may be you, Mr. Weiner.
Yes. I ask that this be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Resolution 11008, congratulating William Hartman for achieving the rank of Eagle Scout.
Any comment, question from members of council?
Yes, Mr.
Councilman Weiner.
Yes, I'd just like to note that William Hartman is has many challenges. He's a resident of the Mary Campbell Center, and it will be my distinct honor tomorrow at the Mary Campbell Center to present him this recognition from County Council.
Great notion. Any further comment, members of council? Any comment, members of the public? Close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on resolution 11008.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Pro Tem, the roll call reveals 12. Yes.
Resolution 11008 has been adopted. That concludes our written agenda for tonight. Any member of the public wishes to address Newcastle County Council? You have 3 minutes. I'm sorry, Councilman Smalley.
Yes, Pro Tem Hollins, I'd just like to take a second to thank you for your guidance and leadership during this intervening time when we've had the absence of the duly elected president. I appreciate it. I want to say, you know, you've done well, and I really tried to find something to put you on the spot tonight, but just couldn't come up with it. So look forward to something at a later date.
I like on here brew if you really want to.
If it was in my district.
Councilman Powers.
Just wanted to say Representative Valerie Longhurst wants to thank you all for the Babe Bear Ruth.
Thank you very much.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, when you said you did that Mary Campbell Center, that was pretty telling. I know. These days the turtles change weekly.